Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Zone Media.
Welcome back to It Could Happen Here, the podcast that's happening here in your ear. And one of the things that we love talking about here is a critical ingredient towards creeping authoritarianism, towards growing corporate control and surveillance over all of our lives, which is, of course, technology that makes it even easier to monitor you than it already is. And we're not talking primarily about like the government monitoring you, because they can, you know, do stuff like just pull your phone data from which cell towers it's pinged. We're talking about the kind of stuff that allows basically whoever can get an app on your phone to track and stalk you. And I'm going to first introduce Mia Wong. Mia, welcome to the show that you also host.
Yes, I am here.
So what are we talking about today, and who are we talking with?
Yeah, so we are talking about stalkerware, which is the sort of broad name for the category of software that Robert's been talking about. And we are talking about someone who hacked one, well,
a stalkerware stalker.
Yeah, the person who hacked one of the stalkerware companies, Maya Arson Crimeu, the famed hacker of the no-fly list. Returning guest, always happy to have you on.
Yeah, always happy to be on.
Yeah, so I think there's a real tendency among, and I see this among leftists a lot for kind of good reasons and kind of not good reasons, to really only focus on state and like large corporate actors in terms of surveillance. And that's a mistake.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and so I guess the place where I want to start before we get into the specific company that you do is it still called owned?
It's fine to call it owned or pawned or whatever. I still do that. Sometimes people get confused. But yeah.
Yeah, but before we get into that, I want to ask you a bit, because you've done a lot of sort of, I guess you could call it research, both actual research-wise and then in terms of poking around their servers.
Research and journalism and whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Hacking. Yeah. Yeah.
So I wanted to just start off by asking if you can give sort of like a brief summary of what stalkerware is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Stalkerware, like, as a category, encompasses, like, a number of different types of apps. Most of them, like, on the service, advertise themselves as, like, parental control software, which is already bad enough, just to be clear, that is, like, advertised for, like, spying on your children's phone, like, seeing their location in real time, seeing their messages that they receive, any photo they take. Ostensibly, this is to, like, prevent bullying and help with them when they get depressed because they don't trust you and talk to you for whatever reason. But obviously a lot of these are then furthermore because that's like that, sure, that's a like target audience, that's a demographic you can advertise to, but then there's this even bigger potential target demographic of people who are insecure in their relationship, mostly men, not only men, but who are then sold this idea that they can use software like this for stalking their partner, for finding out if they are cheating on you, things like that, which is obviously an even bigger problem, which once again, not to discount the problems for that spying on your children is already like bad enough. But yeah, this leads to this whole like big industry of these apps being used by partners against each other, like also just by people, like against anyone in their surroundings that they suspect might be doing something shady, might be like talking behind their backs. It often kind of turns into, like, it obviously turns into this obsessive thing, especially if you're sold this idea that this app can magically solve, like, interpersonal issues. Like, with anything that sells you this magic idea of being able to solve any problem, that these people start kind of spying on everyone in their, like, circles, some of them, like not everyone, most, like a lot of people only spy on like their partner or like their child or whatever, but it often like spirals out of control into this like controlling everyone in their surroundings, knowing what everyone is up to, where they are, and spending like hundreds of dollars a month on doing so. And yeah, that's pretty fucked up if you ask me.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting too, it's also in a lot of cases illegal. This is going to vary, you know, from country to country and state to state. But in the US, there are states like California, which gets pointed out in the very good TechCrunch investigation on TruthSpy, where there are really strict laws that journalists like have to abide by as to when you can record someone that these apps absolutely break.
Yes, it's specifically a thing that also most of these apps will have like a disclaimer at the bottom that is like, this might be illegal in your jurisdiction, and please ask for consent before doing this. And then they have lots of tutorials on how to install this on someone's device without their consent.
Yeah.
But it's like always like, hey, we do not take any, like we it's not our fault if you break the law, basically, which obviously, like, it's so far not a lot of this has been challenged in court, but I don't think this would hold up too long.
Oh,
like, I'm not
God,
a lawyer,
no,
but
no.
I don't think just saying we make a product to do crimes with, if you do crimes with it, it's not. I mean, it works for the gun industry, so.
Yeah, the difference is that, like, with the gun industry, it's a product where there is a legal and an illegal, like, clear way to do it.
The thing with Stalkerware as well is that, like, a lot of them will also explicitly say the only real use of this we allow you to use it for is to surveil your child, which unfortunately is legal in most jurisdictions because children are property of their parents. In quotes, because I do not agree with that. But
it's one of those things where people using it, like someone installing an app on their ex's or their partner's phone or whatever without consent could very easily would lose any court case. Whether or not the company would get in trouble, I think, is going to rely a lot on the stuff, the videos they're posting about like how to get these apps on people's phones without them knowing. But like, they do have that out with like, no, it's just for surveilling children, which is great.
Yeah, and for anyone else, you need consent or whatever. But I think it is important, to point this out very early for anyone who's listening to this because they think they might have Stalkerware on their phones, or because they know they have Stalkerware on their phones. You can use this in a domestic abuse case. This is explicit proof that abuse is happening. No matter anything else, because like that's the thing generally with domestic abuse cases. It's really hard to prove abuse is happening. Mm-hmm. Stalkerware and any other type of spying device, like also physical GPS device trackers and stuff, that is immediate proof that there is there's controlling behavior going on, that you are being spied on. This cannot only be used and is explicit admissible evidence. This is also usually makes cases worse, like not for you. Like it just, can potentially add charges and make it more serious, and it can help making cops give a shit about like abuse, which
yeah.
I hate that I need to say that, but yeah, yeah. It's like it makes it more serious because yeah, there's like spyware and whatever.
It's easy evidence. First off, like you can prove they're spying on you. And second, if you are in one of the states where that violates the law, then you can immediately say this person is breaking the law. Like we don't have to debate whether or not they've crossed a line.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't directly break the law to spy on someone on a partner, like it depending on the region, it can be kind of a hazy like thing, especially if it's a device you might co-own, if it's like a state where with like co-possession or whatever in the US. I do not know US law very much around this, but yeah, there's like laws like that, but usually still the fact that you're being spied on can be used as proof for other abuse things you might be alleging, because it's like hard proof that something is happening. And also usually these companies will somewhat have to respond to subpoena, so they will have to give out like who the account owner is behind like the spying on your phone. For some of them, there's also tools that help you find out who is spying on you, or there is like someone with forensic background can help.
Yeah. And I think people, one thing we should note is that if you're kind of curious, has my device been infected by some of these tools? The one that we've been talking about most, TruthSpy, if you go to that TechCrunch article.
Mm-hmm. Or to my article, it also has a link. Yeah.
Or to your article on your website. There's a tool you can use where it'll tell you how to get your IMSI, I think. IMII, yeah. Which you just dial a thing on your phone and it gives you that number. It's basically how you identify specific phones. And you plug that in, it will let you know if your device has been compromised.
Now, like December last year, up until there is the data. And if you, it can pretty much tell you if you've been spied on using this specific tool until then. For other stuff, there's also guides usually on TechCrunch and otherwise also on StopStalkerware.org, which is the US coalition against stalkerware. And also just generally, I think a lot of like more local anti-stalking, anti-abuse orgs are not as informed yet as they should be, but there's still a good like point also to reach out to or like, yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of my questions about TruthSpy that I'm hoping you can answer is I know that you can, like, text messages get transferred via it, like your call records, all that kind of stuff get, and who you were calling. Does that include messages for, like, encrypted apps like Signal, or is that not accessible through this?
It depends. Like, for some of these, it will, like, get Signal messages, WhatsApp messages and everything generally by reading the notification contents. Mm-hmm. Because, like, from notifications, you know, like, what messages have been received. Sometimes it will only then have the received messages and not the sent messages. Often these also include, like, a keylogger component that maps messages then sent back as well. It depends a lot what these apps collect. But for most of them, also, the collection for other texting apps is usually kind of broken. None of these apps are really well-maintained. They're mostly just quick cash grabs. And the harder-to-maintain features usually don't really work.
And it seems like based on that, one thing people can do outside of checking to see if their device has been compromised is do stuff like turn off notifications for apps like Signal, right? Like, and that's actually just generally good advice. Notifications are a compromise of the security that Signal offers. Don't have them enabled, you know?
Yeah, and or at the very least disable them on the lock screen on Android.
Yeah,
I don't know I think that's also possible on iOS, but I think iOS doesn't show message content on the lock screen anyways. I'm not sure anymore. But yeah, it's just also small things like that. And also like one of the like key tells that someone probably tampered with your phone, especially for Android, is if Google Play Protect is disabled and you do not remember disabling it for something else, it was almost definitely disabled because someone installed something on your phone. Just try re-enabling it and it will probably tell you something. The thing also to keep in mind, if you find stalkerware on your phone, please get professional help. Do not just delete it. Do not like necessarily confront whoever you think might be your abuser about it, unless you're very sure that that's the situation you can handle. Because like, yeah, that is one of those things that like bringing it up or just deleting it can very quickly lead to like complicating the situation a lot.
You know what else complicates the situation? These ads.
Hold up.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we are back.
So when it comes to the actual fight against this stuff, obviously what you're doing is a big part of it. Getting inside these companies and finding out like what they're doing and their capabilities is huge. For in terms of like what regular people or people who are interested in becoming activists about this can do, what is the struggle to actually fight this stuff look like? Like how do we put a bullet in this industry's head?
I think one of the biggest things, and also like why I do the work I do with like hacking it, with encouraging others to like send me data, be that insiders from these companies, sending it either to me or like TechCrunch specifically currently, because like me and TechCrunch are like the only people really doing like journalism on this like regularly. And the important thing with like journalism and all of this is like awareness. It's very important to create awareness about this. That's also why I do the media work with like being on this podcast and things like that. I think the most important thing is to make people aware, like talk about this in your feminist circles or whatever, things like that. Yeah, especially bring it up just also in like general info things about abuse or how to detect abuse. I think the most important thing to do against stalkerware is demystify it. Because most people don't even know that this is a thing, that this is a, like, that there's just commercially available spyware that anyone can install on your phone. It's also important to not, like, give in to some sort of paranoia, as with any of these things. It's just important to, like, yeah, generate awareness, talk about it, send, like, spread these articles, and let friends know that this is a potential thing. And then, yeah, I the hard thing with this is that, like, obviously it should would probably help if there was some sort of legislation against some of this. It's going to be very hard to get any proper legislation that ends this industry, because in most Western countries, which are the only countries which unfortunately would have enough power to like actually get these apps shut down, because that's the world we live in. But the problem there is usually that like this notion that children are owned by their parents is too strong to really make a full case against these apps. And at the very best, what I can... like the very best I'm kind of hoping for from legislators is just a ban on advertising these apps on use against other adults, which would be big already, but that doesn't really solve the issue, because there's still going to be enough people who know of their use for use against adults, and there's going to be enough people on like Reddit threads talking about, hey, well, yeah, you're not sure if your girlfriend is cheating on you, you can just use this app, you know. That's also how most of this marketing for this works. It's just, yeah, at the end of the day, this is like a patriarchal issue. So, yeah, I think that's also why like I am so focused on like the hacking and the like blowing these companies up and showing like who's behind them. It's because at the end of the day, the most effective thing we have against these companies is like the grassroots movement of making them too scared to run in this business, making it not profitable enough. Because as I said, most of this is like quick cash grabs from like web design studios and outsourcing companies. Yeah, that are just making a quick buck from this because otherwise they don't get paid enough. Like, that's the sad thing, really, is how much of this industry is in all of these countries Western companies outsource their IT to, because there's lots of IT companies there and they are entirely reliant on like Western companies giving them very underpaid tasks. And then you have this problem that you now have a bunch of employees and not enough money to always pay them. And what do? You like find some weird niche of like a tech product you can quickly build.
Yeah.
And this is like one of those easy niches. It's like always the scummy stuff. And like, yeah, it's that's also why like so many of these companies are like based out of Vietnam, out of Iran and whatever. It's just companies that already have it hard enough to do business globally, where the IT industry is like falling apart because there's not enough like local customers, and anything that's international, you're just the cheap workforce, right? So yeah, it's once again also like a class problem. I don't like most people working in this industry know that they're working in a like scummy industry.
Yeah. Of course. But like, yeah, you got to get paid. And that's...
Yeah. And that's like why I think making it more scary to operate in this industry is like the way to go. Because like with just like these like four hacks that have happened against these companies over the last like half a year or so, three of them have shut down completely. Others seem to be slowly moving towards just building other software primarily.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's like with any other like shady industry, the best we can do is just to not make it profitable to run the software, because at the very best, anything else we would get is just pushing them more into the shadows, which is not going to solve the issue at all.
Yeah, I think a lot about like strategic thinking, which I do believe is kind of often in part because of how rightfully negative most people on the left think about the military. There's a tendency to ignore some of like the theory around how to actually win a conflict, and all of it, all strategy really, when you're talking about like defeating an opponent, revolves around denying and taking operational area from them, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about when you talk about, well, we need to stop this. You know, one of the first things we can do as part of fighting this is to stop them from being able to advertise certain places, right? It's making sure that they're not able to operate without being seen. It's basically cutting down their area, their space to maneuver, their ability to profit, which cuts down their money, their access to people, their ability to actually like operate, right? Like that's what we're looking at in terms of how do you kill this stuff. It's not one single, really. I use the comparison of like a bullet, but it's never going to be one bullet. These things are too durable. There's too many countries at play to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I that's also why I like put so much emphasis on doing media work about this, on getting more people to talk about this and getting more awareness of this out there, to the point where I'm willing to work with more conservative newspapers on this, because everyone needs to know about this at the end of the day. This is how we like stop people from falling victims to this. Most people who are a victim of stalkerware apps have never heard of stalkerware apps before. And I think that's like one of the biggest ways to tackle this. And on the other hand, we also have, I think, another big leverage point with how many of these are getting hacked, because none of these apps are very secure. That's another thing, is this can also be leveraged against like the abusers in this scenario. I think just pointing out to them that all of these apps get hacked all the time, and that this is how they get found out, and that this is how their data of them as abusers ends up landing on the internet, I think that's also like a very important angle at the end of the day. It's just to make it clear, like, yeah, no, not even you are like secure from this having consequences for your life, like beyond like direct interpersonal or legal consequences. This can and in the past has result in like your email address being on a list of people who do abuse to people online. You don't want to be on such a list. I think that's also important, just to like point out there isn't one stalkerware app that's not eventually going to get hacked. There is a big war against these apps. They're all like, there's so many different hacking groups that keep sending me data from these. Like, I'm already working on another article that already once again affects like the data of like I think like 80,000 more like abusers, and it's just the abuser data this time, but I'm still going to report on it. Like, this is not going to stop. It's even also not going to stop when I stop reporting on this myself. Like, there's been work before me done on this. I also, the first time I got involved in finding Stalkerware was back in 2020. People have been hacking these apps forever and will keep hacking them. Like, just look at the Wikipedia page for Stalkerware. There's an ever-growing list of these apps that have been hacked. And I think at this point, the like official count being kept by one of the people at TechCrunch is at like 13 apps, a few of which have been hacked 2 or 3 times. Yeah. These are not secure apps for anyone.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, it makes sense that like an app dedicated to violating people's privacy for money would also basically violate the privacy of the people using it.
Yeah. And also they don't care. Like I said, it's a cash grab. It's nothing else. There's a few apps that are like a little more than a cash grab, but it's usually just because they're made. Like, they're still a cash grab, but they're, like, more well-made, but it's because they're a cash grab from a company that has better developers or more money to do the initial investment. The thing is also, like, most of these companies don't have a lot of initial investment. And I think the important thing to consider as well here is one big area of this that I have not yet started tackling, but I do want to, like, look into more sometime is... a big reason this industry is so big and most of these apps have a lot of users, despite there being so many of them, is the affiliate marketing industry. Once again, our very beloved friend. Yeah, all of these apps are parts of various affiliate marketing networks. Some of them started by Stalkerware company. Some of them just other like things that advertise all the shady things, like all those phone number locator apps or whatever. That's also part of those same affiliate marketing networks. And there's lots of money flowing here, and there's lots of money flowing to very big tech YouTube channels. And I might soon have some proof for some of that, but that's how these are advertised. It's everyone who advertises Stalkerware to you who has a big platform is doing that because they're getting money, not for any other reason.
We need to do more ads. We will be back shortly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
And we are back.
Well, that's all I had, Mia. What do you got?
Yeah, I guess there's another thing I wanted to ask a little bit about, which Zach Whitaker, who's been one of the journalists at TechCrunch doing a lot of the research,
Yeah, he's great.
One of the things that he brings up that I think is another, I don't know, it's kind of a playing with fire angle on them, but one of the issues that these companies seem to have is payment platforms, mm-hmm. because a lot of payment platforms look at this and go, wait, hold on.
Yeah,
so that's, yeah, I was wondering if you talked about that a little bit.
That's an angle we've also been fighting on a lot. Like, me and Sang, we work on most of these stories together. Like, it's kind of funny. We both got each other into the Stalkerware thing back in 2020, as I mentioned. That was the first time I stumbled into a Stalkerware app with a security issue. I reached out to some random journalist at TechCrunch about it. And now he is the only one talking about this forever, because I reached out to him that one time and he got sucked into this horrible, horrible world of spying. But yeah, like, one of the things we focus on a lot is reporting these companies to their payment providers, to their server hosters, to the point where sometimes, like, for weeks, SAC will just wait for them to switch to a new provider after we got them taken out from, like, PayPal, and then from their other PayPal account, where they're just using, like, the checkout experience from one of their completely unrelated software projects, which they will later claim is not related at all, and they are different companies and whatever. But then, like, eventually they get taken down from that as well. And usually we can get them taken down from most, like, Western hosters, like, especially US hosters will immediately take them down. You do not want to risk being the company hosting spyware on US grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just, like, same with EU hosters, like, the few companies that we've seen that were on Hetzner, they immediately react, because it's like, yeah, no, under EU law, you don't want to, like, risk that, and also just, because you don't want to host that, like, there's no reason for you to host shit like that. It will have, like, image consequences. And that's an important thing that is maybe also something you can do as more, like, a grassroots thing. It's also, like, if you find one of these apps, and if you see, oh, they're using, like, PayPal or whatever, just reach out. I think PayPal is even harder to reach as, like, just an average layperson. Don't expect them to reply. They might still take action. You will have to manually check. PayPal doesn't really reply to things ever. But, yeah, same also with, like, hosting company. If you see they're hosted on, like, a European or American hosting company, just reach out. Be like, hey, there's someone running spyware on your thing. Also, use the word spyware, not stalkerware. They will not know what that is, and yeah. It is spyware. So, yeah. And that can usually get them taken down, and often they don't have proper backups and will have a few months of data missing, and it's like, yeah, that's how you slowly grind them to a halt. Yeah. And also, once again, like, if you have tips about any of these companies, be it having found a vulnerability, just or insider info, especially, I'm always very happy about insider info, you can reach out to either me or Zach Whitaker. We're both very happy to talk about this. Yeah,
that's something that's been used really effectively by right wingers to target sex workers. It's been a huge thing. There's been a bunch of campaigns to get platform companies, and
it's interesting that for once we can use the very restrictive and conservative rules of payment providers for our good.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically any of the big payment providers will not respect something like this. Some of the, like, small regional odd ones probably won't really give a shit. They have no reason to. It's like revenue for them. But yeah, it's generally worth trying. And I'm always glad, like, if someone just reaches out to these companies and we don't have to do that ourselves. I think me and Zach and a few other people, like, actively working on this are doing more than enough work currently. But yeah, like, just if you find one of these things, don't go digging too deep. It's a depressing world. But if you stumble upon one of these somewhere or whatever, just report them. It's going to disrupt their operations. And if it happens often enough, they might just give up. Yeah. And I mean, like, in cases like the Truth Spy, they are willing to do extreme amounts of fraud to get to money easily, because they, like, started with, like, mostly just in, like, with the market they could get with their Vietnamese payment providers, right? And eventually they realized, well, the US is, like, this really big market, right? But for really easy, like, US stuff, we need, like, a PayPal thing, right? So they made, like, over 12 fake American identities with fake passports and fake addresses and signed up to PayPal a whole bunch of times and had various employees at the company move money around. Yeah, that's obviously not a thing the US government will like if you do that, generally speaking. They moved, like, millions like that, so yeah. Which is pretty crazy. Like the amount of money that's moving in this industry is crazy. Like,
yeah,
actually, like most of these apps will be half broken, which no one ever complains about because like it's shady. Like you don't expect, like if you go online and you search for something shady, like anything, like be it piracy or whatever, you don't expect it to be the best experience ever. Like, you know, you're getting some weird service and it's probably going to be half broken. But yeah, like most of these stalkerware apps start at like $40 a month. Like and more, and then sometimes for more features you pay like up to 60 or 70 or so, and then all of these have like tens of thousands of users, sometimes hundreds of thousands of users. Yeah, you can do the math yourself. It's crazy. This is a really big industry, which makes it so crazy to me that it's like not a thing that's talked about more, especially in like feminist spaces and things like that, because this is such a like big angle of like modern tech-enabled abuse that I really think should be more of a topic.
Yeah.
Especially on the left. Like, this is bad.
Yeah, no, this is, like, critically bad. I agree entirely.
And also, like, the whole thing with, like, all of this data being so easily accessible, your data can end up getting sold on some dark web forum. You're both as the abuser and as the target, right? And the government can find these. Like, I have no, like, this is not me making a statement of that's a thing that's happening. But there's nothing preventing the government from hacking these companies and getting shit. Like I sometimes, like, whenever I get these data sets, and it's always hard to work with data sets that include, like, non-consensually collect the data of people, right?
Yes.
But like, I do always like do some due diligence checks, like mostly trying to find if the government is using a specific app. Sometimes, yes, there is always like the odd correction facility officer who has signed up for one or two of these apps. Or like education people and whatever. But then I also sometimes search through the text messages for just some code words, and the amount of people moving drugs who have stalkerware on their phones, it's, you know.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where there are laws, like technically, if my understanding of the laws around this are correct, it is illegal for an organization like the FBI to utilize these apps. But
yes, but we have an organization called the NSA who
and it is on paper illegal for them to do this with a third-party app. But one thing that often gets done, particularly by the FBI, but you know, not just by them, is it's not illegal for law enforcement agencies to contract with private agencies. And if those agencies, you just don't check in on what they're doing. You know what they're using. But like,
Or like if an informant like sends you this data, like you're not gonna say no, right?
Exactly.
And also you don't really need to disclose that because it's information you got from an informant. You do not need to disclose that informant in court ever. So yeah, it's
It's fair. There are ways around, you know, the laws that we put up. Not that we shouldn't continue to extend those laws, but you shouldn't, like, just because, well, they're not allowed to use this doesn't mean they can't get access to the info. Yeah.
Yeah. And also there's all this important thing, like there's also globally, like there's other governments that can't just be using this, like for one of the apps I got the data for.
The Indian government and the Russian government don't give a shit.
Like, there was also like another thing where for one of the apps I got data for, there was some indication that at some point the Colombian National Police did a bigger evaluation of using spyware for their use, because you're in a country with not that big of a like police budget in comparison. You cannot afford like all the cool Israeli tools everyone else has. So what do you do? You just look for random apps you can find, you know?
Yeah, you find the Walmart, the Kirkland version.
It's like the wish.com version, I guess.
yeah. Alibaba spyware, right? Yeah.
and like, I don't think most of them moved forward with this because these apps fucking suck. Like, they're bad. Like, that's the other thing. Like, they don't even really do their job well, they're bad, and you don't know who is behind them. You cannot even go up to someone and be like, yo, don't do this. You also cannot go to the cops and be like, this company is scamming me, because I assume some people have probably done that before, but it does involve admitting to a crime, so yeah. It's like, yeah, these companies just get away with not giving a shit about their product, because like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we had. Thank you, Maya, for both the work you're doing and for talking to us.
Yeah, always.
Is there anything you wanted to plug before we roll out here?
Just my blog, I think, where like I do this journalistic work and also more. Yes. There's about to be another cool investigative piece out soon, which tangentially involves more tracking and whatever, and also involves like Hollywood and more. It's a crazy big story. I promise. That will be out like hopefully in a month or so. But yeah, my blog at maya.crimeu.gay. Crime U as in crime W. Yeah, and gay as in gay. yeah. Yeah, just check out my blog. At the bottom of the blog, there's all my links to my social media. For anyone who's like listening to this and has been wondering where I am back on Twitter as well. Yeah.
For now.
For now. Yeah,
that's for all of us these days. That's always that's
at this point. But yeah, I am back on Twitter. I'm posting there sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. And thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow, unless this comes out on a Friday, in which case we'll be back at some other point, but soon.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.